From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing and lay-wearing...
Wow.
My friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic, which, by the way, forgot to say, the heartthrob of Bob After Dark.
Thank you, Bob.
The
yeah.
True heartthrob of Bob After
Dark. I am wearing the Lays. I'll leave it at that. Bob, it's despite the temperature being a little cool on this
it's
summer night.
It's 65 degrees outside. It's time to say goodbye to summer.
No, Bob.
It's time to say aloha to the summer season, and it's time to get into
Bob
spooky season. I'm sorry.
I don't want to warn you about the forecast, but it's going to be 90 in a couple of days again. So I don't
why
know.
Why do you have to?
I don't know.
Why you got to come in here and pop my? Do I come over there and pop your bubble?
Just don't put the.
Do I pop your bubble?
Don't put the flannel on just yet.
Well, I'm just curious. Do I go over there and rain on your parade?
No, you don't have to do that. But you know what? We are celebrating as the summer continues on here. You know, we could say it's winding down, Bob. It is possibly winding down. Labor Day is coming up here very soon. And after that, it kind of goes down from
all there. Downhill from there.
But you know what, Bob? We are saluting the summer tonight. You got your Hawaiian shirt on. I got these Lays on you gifted me with. But thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, I know you like a Hawaiian shirt, Bob.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirt, Bob. And that's they can't see this, but your shorts match your shirt.
Yes, I'm wearing purple shorts with my purple Hawaiian shirt.
Very festive.
On
a 60-degree night.
So, Count, let's get your weekend update.
Pretty good, Bob. A lot of activities going around here.
Yeah, ain't it?
To go over region. I know I flew in to see what was going on at Kielbasa Fest. I knew a guy that was hosting that.
Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time.
Did you get a kielbasa?
I did not have a kielbasa. I had some pierogi, but I didn't get a kielbasa. But...
Now, for the uninformed, can you explain what kielbasa is to our fans?
Yeah, it's kind of like sausage there, Bob. So it's in the form of a sausage. It's a Polish delicacy, but it wasn't all just kielbasa there. It was just pierogi, and they had other food as well, taco truck and whatnot. But
sure.
It was a good time out there in East Chicago, Indiana. Kosciuszko, no, I shouldn't say that, Kosciuszko Park.
Kosciuszko.
With the statue of Thaddeus Kosciuszko out there in the front.
here's
a trick. Now, here, Bob, we always talk about this. That statue. What's wrong?
Nothing. I don't think they could arrest our poor dads all these years later.
Well, they were troublemakers back in the day, yes.
About that statue.
Now, the statue, do you know, okay, the statue of Kosciuszko, Thaddeus Kosciuszko, is he on a horse or is he standing?
He's standing.
Okay, good. But in some people's minds, that's what they call it. That's the Mandela effect, right?
Yes, but so there is a Kosciuszko Park in the city of Chicago with him on a horse.
He's on a horse, but this one in Chicago, he's just standing.
In Chicago, it's just him standing, which made it easier for certain dads to go up there and throw a trench.
Well, I don't know who went up there, Bob. Well, remember this wasn't our dads because it was years ago, but years later. But remember somebody stole Thaddeus Kosciuszko.
Yeah, I wonder who did that.
No, you keep hitting on this was just like five. No, this is probably a little more like 10 years ago. Maybe somebody stole him, but. And then something else happened, Bob.
Yeah, what's that?
I ran into Chuck Pullen, our mutual friend.
How's Chuck?
He's been on the show before. Friend.
Yeah, we love Chuck. Chuck's a good friend.
Well, he was in New Jersey, Bob, and he gave me something to give to you.
What?
And I'll show it right now to the camera.
Oh, I got a gift.
You got a gift from Chuck from New Jersey.
Chuck in New Jersey, or Chuck was in New Jersey.
New Jersey. And,
what did Chuck bring for me?
Bearing gifts.
That is a really nice Mothman shirt. Thank you so much, Chuck.
For those on the radio or on the
it
podcast
it says a Mothman
side,
lives. That's a nice-looking shirt.
It's a little Mothman that says Mothman lives. So that's from
I
Chuck
like the
Bob.
I like
right
the font choice on – I don't have that one. It's real nice.
There you go. From New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah.
So other than that, so you did Kosciuszko Park. Would you like to know what I did this weekend?
What'd you do, Bob?
I was at Fan Expo Chicago all weekend.
I saw pictures of this.
Yeah, so Fan Expo Chicago, think of it as Chicago's secondary Comic-Con other than C2E2, which we knew used to do.
Yeah.
I was invited there to speak with Pat and Rebecca from the Ghostly Podcast.
Yeah.
We did a haunted Chicago, specifically the Lincoln Park area. We talked about the hauntings in Lincoln Park, and then we went to... What else did we go into? Oh, I was on our friends from Attack from Mars Gaming podcast network. My friend Liz invited me to tag along with her on her horror community podcast where we talked about the horror community. Now, keep in mind, I'm not a horror content creator, but I am horror adjacent. So it was really nice to be up there. And I hung out with the Sledgehammer Horror Podcast.
Yeah.
And the gentleman who made Killer Pinata.
Killer Pinata.
From Angry Mule Pictures.
Angry Mule Pictures.
And that was a good time. And then I did three panels this weekend.
Wow.
And my other one, me and my pal MJ from the Windy City Ghostbusters, they and I hosted the Chicago Hauntings panel. And we had a big full house for that one. So three panels. I helped with two booths this weekend, the Windy City Ghostbusters and Extra Life Chicago. Busy.
I saw it. It seemed like a heck of a time, and I saw you on the panels with everybody over there. But Bob, I gotta say, did you meet any? I know you're a star. Did you meet any stars?
I did. You know, so Maurice LaMarche, does the name ring a bell?
It kind of does.
Maurice has been in a ton of projects. Like his voice is synonymous with his big like. Couple of roles. He was Brain from Pinky and the
That's
Brain
it.
Session
Pinky
in
Bionic.
Yep. He was also in, he was the voice of Egon in the Extreme and Real Ghostbusters, which is why I would know him. But he's done, you'd be surprised how much work this guy's done in his career. A lot of Rick and Morty stuff, fill in the blank. It's a very sweet guy, very good individual. Actually, a fan of the show, too, come to find out. So this is a quick shout-out to Maurice LaMarche. I know you're listening out there, and that is so weird to be saying thank you for listening to the show.
Why not? Yes, thank you for listening. You know, my favorite thing, Pinky the Brain, when they did that. I mean, Brain has the Orson Welles thing going on with him, and I think they were kind of spoofed Orson Welles at one point from Pinky and Brain did from, you know. Orson Welles directed one of the greatest movies of all time, right? Citizen Kane. We saw the director's commentary.
We did
Wait,
see the...
no. We saw Roger Ebert's commentary on Citizen Kane. We didn't see Orson Welles' commentary.
No,
on
I don't
Kane.
Think he had commentary on
We had Ebert's commentary on Citizen Kane.
Anywho, so if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob
You're not
going to
acknowledge that Citizen Kane?
I love Citizen Kane.
It's not a scary movie, though.
No, it's not. It's the complete opposite of what we do here.
We should, you know what we should do for one night? Just
April Fool's 2025 episode. Just sit down with me and Count Panic as we commentate through Citizen Kane. Two paranormal entertainers talking about that movie.
Orson Welles,
Yes.
All right. Sorry about Citizen Kane.
You're okay. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to an episode of Bob After Dark, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in a night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite Orson Welles project.
Well, I don't know. Should we? I mean, you got to be Citizen Kane, right? He had more than that, of course.
War of the Worlds.
That scared everybody on the radio.
Yeah, the War of the Worlds was a legitimate. They read the H.G. Wells like story on the radio.
Yeah.
And they freaked people out thinking we were truly under attack by aliens.
I mean, think about that. Like, say we were doing that now in these days. Nobody would believe us because, I mean, this day and age, it's not believable, I guess, to say the aliens are attacking on the radio. But back then, this was a big deal for all of them. They didn't know. It was just a radio program.
Of course.
That's up there.
Yes. But that was that's the question. War of the Worlds. We divide the show up into two parts. The first part's where the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual news stories. Anything like cryptids or ghosts being sighted or weird lights being photographed or advances in science that borderline on science fiction. Any of those, you guys send me the article. I read them word for word, and then we get the hashtag Count Panic's take. Yeah. or just a hashtag panics take, if you will. That'll he doesn't know the news articles prior, so he gives us his raw take on the article, and then we dive into the lore of the week.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how it goes.
All right. So without further ado, Count Panic, you ready to dive into the weird spooky news of the week?
Sure. What you got?
Okay. So this first one actually comes to us from fan Jim Norman. Funny enough, our IT specialist here on Bob After Dark. So mysterious black ring appears in sky over Virginia. This happened literally not long after the show aired last week, so we're a couple days behind, but it's okay. So a mysterious black ring appeared in the sky over southeastern Virginia on Tuesday. Nextstar's Wavy started receiving messages shortly after 11 a.m. as viewers reached out with an images and video of an ominous-looking ring floating in the sky. Ron Stepp, who sent in the video, said he was working in the vicinity of Eastern State Hospital in Williamsburg when it appeared overhead. He described it a huge smoke ring and said it disappeared after about 10 minutes. Another person in the area of Old Moortown Road stopped to snap photos of it. I'm actually going to send you this one, Count, because
take a look at it.
Yeah, that way there you can judge on that while I finish reading. One second, folks. You would think that I'd be prepared for this by now, and you know, after years, I'm still never prepared for my own work.
Yeah,
you know, because that's we're just breaking the, you know, the cutting edge of technology here. All right, Count. It was sent.
Okay, I'm going to take a look at this.
And then, so, Wavy viewer Peggy Olisk sent in a photo that she took around 11 a.m. Last Tuesday in Williamsburg. And another viewer sent in a photo of the ring taken on Interstate 64 westbound in the area of Fort Eustis exit. Renee Fisher snapped a pair of photos on the website of the black ring in the sky in the Waller Mill area of Williamsburg. Articles and social media posts describing similar sightings in other regions pointed to a fire or some type of explosion that likely caused that ring. Wavy, which is, W-A-V-Y, I'm calling it Wavy, but it's W-A-V-Y, which is like their local, you know, news, like we would have W-J-O-B here. Reached out to James City County Fire Department to ask if there were any reports around the time that the circle was reported. The fire chief said there was no fires. WAVY has reached out to other authorities in the region and yet to hear any responses to what this ring is. Oh, do I have a field day with this one. Count Panic. Let's get the panics take.
And yeah.
Show the viewers at home what the smoke ring looks
like. Yeah, I'm going to show it from my phone here because it's going to be tough to pull it up in time, but you can see right there if you're watching.
Yeah.
In the camera, there's that little ring in the sky right there.
It is a solid. It's not like, you know, somebody looking at the ring and saying, oh, it resembles a ring. That is a perfect circle.
It's a perfect circle.
So go on.
With the band. But yes, it's a perfect circle. It almost looks like a portal of some sorts, Bob. Like you can kind of just jump into it and it maybe takes you to another dimension. I mean, I can't really explain what it is. It looks kind of like it could be like a dark smoke ring, but to me, it looks like a portal, Bob. Like maybe a portal to another dimension or space.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's absolutely eerie.
Can you explain it?
No.
Oh,
dude, you know, if there's an explosion or a fire, I will give a smoke ring to something if it was like a volcano where you have it shooting up, or maybe like a nuclear stack, you know, like Michigan City over there, you know, big nuclear smokestack.
Yeah.
If that puffs something out, it's going to be a circle, but there's nothing like that around.
No,
it is a perfect circle that has been seen all over that neck of the woods. It wasn't just seen by one random town. That thing must have been massive. And it stayed a perfect circle for 10 seconds.
Yes.
I mean, I'm no smoke expert by any means. I'm not a fire marshal. I only play one on TV.
No.
But yeah, what do you think?
I can't explain.
Do you think it's something weird or do you think it's something explainable?
I can't explain it, so it's something weird.
All right. So let's move on to our next story. It comes from The Independent. The haunted Victorian Asylum Hospital that is now set to be turned into homes. North Wales complex hosts a television program, Most Haunted. but now it's up for redevelopment. An abandoned Victorian asylum that has fallen into disrepair is set to be given a new lease on life thanks to a 107 million euro redevelopment plan. The former North Wales Hospital was built in 1844 to provide care for people suffering from mental illnesses. By 1956, it had 1,500 patients, but since its closure in 1995, the historic site in Dingbun has been plagued with arson and vandalism. It has also attracted a host of paranormal hunters. In 2008, television program Most Haunted broadcast a live ghost investigation from the dilapidated building. A decade later, the Denbighshire Council took over the Grand II listed building, and now with North Wales Economic Ambition Board has announced a 107 million euro investment project to redevelop the 53-acre site. Delivered by civil engineers company Jones Bros, the project will see the building restored with homes, commercial units, as well as green community spaces. It says the plans will transform this landmark site so it can become a central part of the community. At its height, the hospital housed children with learning disabilities, dementia patients, and people with addictions. They were kept in difficult conditions at the hospital before opinion on mental health treatment began to change. In the 1960s, then-Minister for Health Enoch Powell earmarked it for... Oh, geez, my notes just crashed. Sorry, Count Panic. No. That's weird.
Oh, stamp.
Stand by. Sorry, guys. That is the most confusing thing I've seen in a long
time. You think that was a paranormal experience?
That was weird. It just stopped.
Maybe
there we go.
That's weird. About this story.
All right. So the new development at the hospital would create 360 apprenticeship opportunities and 70 full-time jobs by 2035. Wales Office Minister Nia Griffith said it is fantastic news that this development is moving forward and breathing new life into its iconic site, which has been derelict for so long. Once it's completed, there will be new homes, business spaces, and open green spaces to benefit the whole community. Hugh Jones, chair of Jones Brothers, said the project still has a long way to go and many elements need addressing and agreeing before we could work on the site. As a local company, we are very aware of the site's significance and part it played in the town's history. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, how about that? Well, that's kind of a historical story there, Bob, isn't it?
Well, like, they say the hospital site and the grounds are haunted.
Yeah, I don't know. They always say don't build anything where it's a.
Probably not. There's definitely a cemetery on site.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, the criminally insane, you know, fill in the blank, and the people that had poor mental health.
Yeah.
If they were put in there by the state, and if unfortunately they passed, they didn't go to a cemetery. There was usually a cemetery on site with a bunch of unmarked graves. I've seen them before. If you ever go to Peoria, Illinois, I went with our friend James once. The old tuberculosis hospital site, there is an entire TB cemetery there that has hundreds of stones with no names on them, just numbers.
Yeah.
So not only are you probably building over a cemeteries, you're building over extremely haunted land. I'd live there, but I would get your homes definitely blessed, you know?
Yeah, I think try to avoid it at all costs, Bob, if you can. Don't go on top of burial ground.
Also, can you imagine how, like, the building is this solid Victorian architecture, man?
Yeah.
They say it's going to take till 2035 for it to be completely done.
Take a while, yeah.
It's also a lot of money being invested in the project.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You build over something like that, and, you know, mental health hospitals, especially old ones, they're hotspot for paranormal activity because of just the negative energy footprint that place left behind, you know?
Yeah.
Our, you know, not that our mental health care is, you know, top-notch these days, but it's way different than it used to be.
Yeah. I just say avoid it. Try it. Build in the cornfield or something like that.
Sounds good. All right, Kyle, you ready for our final news story
before
we move into the lore of the week?
Yeah.
All right, so this one comes to us from the New York Post. I own the world's most haunted doll, and she left my back burning with scratches. Mm-hmm. This is written by Asia Grace, published on August 19th. This doll is not to be played with. Although she looks very demure, the world's most haunted doll, an antique toy believed to be possessed by a jaded bride named Elizabeth, has allegedly scratched, yanked, and attacked 17 fellas in fits of furious fury. It seems like the doll has a hatred towards men, paranormal investigator Lee Steers, 37, from the UK, told Kennedy News. The spook seeker, who purchased the plaything for nearly $1,000 on eBay, recently fell victim to the toy's terrorism, claiming he was left with severe scratches on his back while in the bridal doll room of his museum. I need you to stop right there. This guy's got a haunted museum of, it sounds like, just dolls.
Well, you hate
and there's
this already.
A bride section.
Yeah.
If you have a haunted museum, all right, and you have enough dolls in there to warrant needing to build a bridal doll room, you have too many haunted dolls, man. One's enough. But at that point, you're just excessive, and I feel bad for you. Now, I know what you're thinking, and it's funny because somebody over the weekend at one of my panels asked me, oh, would you ever go see Robert the Doll in, you know, Key West? The answer is no. Guys, I will go to any haunted location, deal with any cryptid. I don't do dolls, man. This place sounds like a living hell to me.
Yeah, no, it's for anybody, I would think.
But anyway, the bridal doll room of his museum. People say it hates married men and goes around scratching married men, said Steer. I suspect it to be the most haunted doll in the UK as it's in my purchase. But she's far from the only creepy cutie to curse the citizens of Great Britain. Aisha Barrett, 35, a London-based property guardian residing in an abandoned hospital, previously revealed her unconventional crib crawled with tortured souls. I'm living in fear, the millennial confessed to over 500,000 TikTok viewers while giving ghost buffs a grand tour. And across the pond in NYC, music maniacs claim that rock legend's Jimi Hendrix's West Village studio, the Electric Lady, is too full of phantoms. Pretty much every assistant I know has had some sort of kind of sighting at night when they're alone, said the Grammy award-winning mixer Michael Brower told the Post earlier this month. But Steer says the demon doll doesn't need her target to be solo before attacking. In fact, the apparition's pro claims that he has been assaulted while in the company of his girlfriend, Sarah Carter, 32, and another spirit sleuth. I was doing an investigation and I had a burning sensation on my neck, said Steer. At first, I didn't think much about it, and when they, Sarah and the investigator, mentioned I had scratches on my back, the burning sensation moved down, he continued. Liken the marks Elizabeth left to a pentagram. Please. It seems like the doll has a hatred towards men, added the expert. People say it hates married men and goes around scratching married men. But Steer's colleague, John Paul Kenny, 34, felt the doll's wrath while filming a TikTok live while on a date with his girlfriend, Kimmy Jeffrey, 38, in the bridal doll room. We're back to that. I had my shirt on and I was just talking to her and I felt someone grab my shirt and skin was touched, said Kenny. Where my skin was touched when my shirt popped out, he had detailed. I reacted like if someone had come behind me and pulled my shirt and wanted my attention. I kept thinking I was seeing the bridal woman all night too, and I wasn't scared to put me on the edge. The hair-raising moment was even captured on camera. It's 100% the bridal doll who did this to me, Kenny insisted, claiming that he has been told the favors Elizabeth's fiance. On the night, I felt like I had seen her in the corner of my eye in a white dress. All night, we were going around, and I could feel it. It was amazing. But Steer says the doll often just leaves ladies alone. It is all men and never a woman that has been attacked, he explained. It, the doll, has moved stuff in the room while Sarah has been there, but it only claimed to have scratched a male. Elizabeth has also been accused of throwing perfume bottles, projecting bone-chilling words such as bride and haunting on the screens. The little troublemaker's motive, however, remains unknown. Why she is doing it is a mystery, said Steer. Some people think that she was treated badly by a man, and some think that her wedding went wrong, so this is why she haunts a bridal doll. It could be also the fact that Elizabeth has always been in the center of attention in the museum, and now we're getting new items, and she's feeling a bit of jealousy, the father of the two furthered. We've got famous items from The Conjuring. Now maybe she is feeling a bit forgotten, so she's making herself known in the most extreme way. as Steer's sweetheart Carter is making it known that she will not be in the Elizabeth's presence unaccompanied. I won't go through the bridal room because you have to walk through the door to get to the light switch, so it's pitch black when you first go in, she said. If I ever do go to the switch and to turn the light on, she messes with the light switch, Carter said. And she knows it unnerves me. I hate it. Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, I mean, tell you, Bob. One thing, Dow's, I know you're freaked out with Dow's, and I am too as well. But the burns and such. Having a room dedicated to all this, Bob.
What's that?
Having a whole room dedicated to something like this, like, who really needs that?
Look, man, to each their own. Yeah. I you know, if I was to have a haunted museum, I'd have a doll room, I suppose, that I would never go into. But they'd all go in there. Every last doll would just go into the room. I don't care. I don't need a bridal doll room. They all just go stay in there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's something. Collect something else if you're going to collect something, like rocks or
haunted rocks.
Haunted rock collection. Yeah. That could be a thing. Is there such a thing as a haunted rock?
Sure. Why couldn't there be a haunted rock?
I don't know. That should be a topic.
I will do a topic on that soon. To think about that one. Haunted rocks. But that was such an interesting, so weird. So this guy bought it. Now he has the most haunted doll in the UK. Mm-hmm. And the question is, before he bought it, who had the most haunted doll in the UK? And is there a scale that we rank these haunted dolls?
Yeah.
The other thing I have a big problem with is the carving in his back looked like a pentagram. What does that mean? That is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You're going to sit there and you're going to take the time out to carve a pentagram? And if it's an upside right pentagram, that's all, you know, the symbol of the earth and elements and jazz. That ain't that scary. And if it's an upside down one, I guess that's something. But
Nope,
I think that part's a little on the hooey side.
Give it a little bit of hooey right there.
I'm going to give it just a bit of hooey. Got a caller.
Yeah, hold on. Let me try to get
him. Did you hang up?
I think we got it.
There you go. John, is that you?
Yes, it is, Bob. It's me.
Good evening, John. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How you doing today, Bob?
Doing good. Were you at Kielbasa Fest this past weekend?
Wait a minute. I was at Kielbasa Fest, not Kielbasa Fest.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dad's listening now, I know he's... He's probably saying, Bob, it's kielbasa, not kielbasa.
I'm going to feel the tug on my shirt a little bit.
Out there.
Oh, boy, that and Kosciuszko statue and, you know. Hey, they're all, you know, that was our hangout, Bob. You know, that's bring back memories, you know.
You know, I think the statue limitations is over. Is there any truth to you that you guys put the garbage can over Kosciuszko's side?
I don't think they ever did that.
I don't know. I really don't know that one.
My dad always said that you guys put the garbage can on the statue side.
Well, there was a lot of us. So, I mean, you know, I might have not been there that day or something. That was our park. That was our hangout. We did a lot of things there, you know, swim and, I mean, play baseball, stuff like that. So,
sure.
You know, it's nice that the mayor has something like that to, you know, to keep the memories going. But anyway, that hospital, that's going to be converted into a housing complex, you say, or what?
Yes, sir. That's what it sounds like. They're going to be building some homes on it. So it's going to be some sort of community.
Well, what is it? What is it, overlooking a ocean or something? What did they take any?
It's in the field, so it's just this big open field with this old abandoned hospital on it.
But what? How do they think people are going to be attracted to something like that? You know,
rising people living there. It sounds like it's in the quiet part of England, so. Just kind of want to be away from everybody, maybe close enough to still be able to commute in a major city for work.
Do you think people are aware of, I'm sure they have to be aware of what it was, but like you say, there's usually some paranormal activity going on after the fact and stuff like that, right?
I would say so. I don't see a lot of folk in England being a little bit as superstitious as we are here. Don't get me wrong, there is definitely English paranormal folk. I'm not saying that's not the case, but I don't know if, you know, I'm not from there, so I couldn't tell you if they're a little bit more believable as we are here. you know, over there, they may hear that it's haunted and they might just be like, hey, I'm just going to live there anyway because there's no such thing. I don't know. You might have some people that buy into the area that's like thrill seekers that just want to live in a haunted, you know, neck of the woods, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that would be for me. Well, how about you?
Oh, 100%, John. That's the day comes when I start looking for my forever home. I will be asking the realtor, every realtor, is this house haunted? And if the answer is yes, that goes up on the list of why I would buy it.
You know what? That was a stupid question, I think, on my part, because why would, you know, what, you know, you delve into stuff.
Exactly. Here's the thing, you know, if I moved into a house that had some spirits to it, I just treat them like they're, you know, my roommates or another part of the family. Wouldn't bother me none. And if they were, you know, negatively charged spirits, they can go. But if there's a positive old woman living there who just doesn't know how to move on, whatever. I leave a candle on for you or something, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm aware of your fear of the dolls there. But like even a Barbie doll,
Nope. Don't like them, man.
So a doll is, like you said, a doll is a doll is a doll. It doesn't matter what it's categorized. Or...
There is some exceptions. Marionette puppets don't bother me. People have asked me that, like ventriloquist dummies or marionettes, do they bother me? Puppets, those don't bother me so much. Stuffed animals, they don't bother me. It's just dolls, specifically like baby dolls. Barbie dolls, not so much. You know, the classic baby doll or porcelain dolls are the worst. Hate them.
What about like at a carnival where you got, I don't want to say they're dolls, but you know, when you're shooting at them.
Oh, those are okay. Most of those are like stuffed animals. You know, that don't bother me as much. Just the dolls, you know?
Yeah, I knew that, but that's, I didn't.
Now ask me why I'm afraid of them.
Yeah, that would probably be a good follow-up question.
I have no idea. It's just they freaked me out since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I had an older sister, so she had dolls, you know, and that just was freaky to look at.
So you never had a bad experience with anything like that, only just the looks of it, right?
Just the looks. I own a haunted doll. She lives in my linen closet because I ain't going in there. I own several of them. I'm not a fan.
But, well, hey, that's what it is, you know. So, hey, what are you going to do, right?
Well, I appreciate you calling in, John.
Yeah, nice that you're back again, and hope your health is improving and all that.
Doing the best I can. Soon the organ will be coming out in the next couple of weeks, and then I'm ready to get moving.
All right, and say hi to your mom for me, would you?
She's already listening, John, but I will certainly relay the message.
All right, Bob.
All right, you have a good one, sir. Thank you.
That's it.
Always a pleasure. You know,
yeah.
You know, folk, you could be like John and get my personal gratification. 219-845-1100. You can call in and ruin Count Panic's day by making him work.
Operators are standing by.
Operator singular. Now, Count, I have something we haven't had in a hot minute.
What?
We have some viewer mail.
Ah.
Yeah, so our friend Desmond from the Detroit area, not Detroit proper, but like the Detroit neck of the woods, sent in this story, and I asked them if they were okay with me sharing their name, and Desmond said yes. Des is a old school, long time listener of the show, always sends gifts. Desmond's one of my favorite people in the world. Love him very much. I love all my fans, but Desmond's up there, and I appreciate this. For the record, I know they have done like, what's the word I'm looking for? They've done paramedic work and stuff like that, but they got a new job. So let's start. I started working in an ER at San Joe's Hospital in Ann Arbor. The other day they announced a code coming in, so we all go into the room and get everything ready. I was standing on a step stool because it was going to be my job to do CPR compression. I felt something pull on my pant leg, so I turned around to see what it was, and I wasn't close enough to anything at all for it to have been caught on anything. When I look up, the monitor started showing a heartbeat and breath pattern, but outpatient wasn't there yet. The nurse was like, oh yeah, this place is haunted, and I didn't say anything about my pant leg being pulled.
Oh, wow.
Ain't that weird?
Yeah.
Spooky.
That is spooky.
Yep. Hospitals are notorious for that certain thing. But what'd you think of the story?
Ah, thanks for telling us, too. We love hearing
people's
stories.
One of my favorites. You know that. And I appreciate you sending that in. Folks, I love hearing your ghost stories. Always, you know, call in 219, or you can call in during the live show and share us a story, 219-845-1100. Or you could submit your stories to me, Bob at bobafterdark.com. Or you could even shoot us a direct message, PM, that's the word I'm looking for, any of those on our social medias. I like hearing these. I like getting stories on those, you know.
And we got a phone call.
Let's take the caller. You're on live, caller.
Do a live phone call.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, Bob. How are you? This is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey,
how's
Bill.
It going?
There you go.
Yeah, I've been listening. I haven't called for a while, but I'm enjoying your show, and I just want to say I'm from East Chicago. I've lived there all my life, and I heard about that garbage can story.
We don't
know
who.
Wasn't me. Like John, I used to hang around the park, and it wasn't me that did that.
Because somebody
accused me of that a long time ago. No, I didn't do that stuff. So,
well, is the Kishka gang all these years later still being accused?
He got stolen a couple times, right? Or no?
Well, I hear that story, and a few others, but I just want to tell you right now, it wasn't me. I didn't do that back
then.
Sounds
good. Clear the air. I think my dad is the one who actually did it.
Well, no.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Well, I got to clear the air here, because
guys, don't worry, we cleared a 50-60-year-old crime.
The unsolved mystery has been solved.
The unsolved mystery is done.
I know people have. I've been accused a few times when you were young and you kids would do this and that. No, we didn't do that. Yeah. So,
well, thanks for clearing
well,
the air.
Thanks for clearing the air, Bill. We appreciate you.
Well, yeah. Have there been any hauntings like in East Chicago in spots that you know of?
The what club? It's the K word.
Cuyahoga.
Cuyahoga Club apparently is haunted in East Chicago, and
oh really?
Yes, and Immaculate Conception Church has the story of the ghost nun that walks.
Bill,
around.
I gotta say, St. Stan's though. I mean,
it's the smaller one. Our dads went to it back in the day.
Yeah, but St. Stan's has a history of some. I heard stories about paranormal stuff at St. Stan's.
Yeah, I've heard the one about St. Stan's too.
It's probably St. Stan's, and I'm just mixing up the name. I can't remember, but my dad did say that the church that y'all used to go to back in the day, there was always stories about the nun that walked.
There was
around.
A nun at St. Stan's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There was a nun. The one I heard was the nun was walking around looking for her head.
Yes. Yep. Same story.
Yes. That's the one on the third floor, and we used to go up there because, we had meetings up there, and every time we walked up there, it was dark. I had opened the lights, and I was waiting for her. You know?
Oh, yeah, did you ever get a chance to see her? My dad said it was a bunch of hooey.
Yeah, well, you believe what you want to believe.
But here's the thing, going up into those rooms alone, I mean, you felt something was watching you.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that, I know the times I was up there, I thought that too. I mean, it didn't bother me, but it looked like when, we were leaving or going, back down the stairs, somebody was watching us.
Yeah.
They were coming to get the ruler to make sure you guys are behaving properly.
That's the history.
That's what I thought. Well, listen, I'll let you go. I'm enjoying the show. Baba, I'm glad you're doing okay so
well, thank
far.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate you.
And Count, you take care too,
I will. I'll keep a watch on Kosciuszko Park.
Yes, you do that.
Okay.
But like I say, that story sticks. I'm sticking with that story there.
All right.
No problem, Bill.
All
have
right.
a good one.
You take guys care. Take care.
He proved his innocence.
Hey, man.
Who else wants to call and say they didn't?
Right, listen, you guys can call. My dad's gone. I don't know if they're going to go, try to arrest him now, I guess.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, you said too much time has passed.
Hey, Count, you want to take a quick break?
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, folks. For our live fans, we'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stick around. You're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
This is Mike.
This is Jacob.
And this is Matt.
We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown.
Unknown.
You can catch us every other Monday on actually wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we're back.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Count Panic.
How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
Good.
What did you do during break?
During break, Bob, I did fly over to Kosciuszko Park, and all is well. All is calm. Thaddeus Kosciuszko safely stands. How about you?
You know, Count, I was curious about something, and I went to England to go to that the person's home.
Wow, you went further down than me. I just went to Kosciuszko Park.
I went to England real quick. I've dropped by. I went to go leave a guy a note saying there's no reason to have more than one doll room in order to have one that's called the bridal doll room, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Count, do you know what I think about when I think of... I had a whole point to this, and I totally lost my punchline. You know what... One place I've always wanted to visit in my life?
Where?
England. I've always wanted to visit England. Yeah, which is why I went.
So with all this Hawaiian shirt stuff on, we're not...
I picked an England story.
You picked an England story.
This one's pretty cool. I like this one quite a bit.
I thought there was a theme.
There's not. People know how I pick my topics here on the show. Sometimes I nail themes. Sometimes I go completely against the grain. But this one's a pretty cool story. It's the story of Jen Greenteeth from England. You ready to learn some lore on the villains, Wiki?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. So Jen Greenteeth is a malevolent hag, meaning like evil woman. I don't want to use the word witch because that's usually what it is, but evil creature-y that presents itself as like a female human from English folklore associated with bodies of water such as rivers, streams, and lakes. Areas of land with the creature would haunt in order to lay and wait an unwary traveler to stray too close to the water's edge, at which point she would drag her victims into the water and drown them before devouring them. Like many hags had a fondness for killing and eating children, but would attack any, regardless of age, that strayed her path. Jenny Greenteeth is depicted as green, a rotting creature with long arms and claws, as well as vicious teeth by which to consume her victims. Often weeds and plants grow from her body, which are signs of her aquatic nature as her symbolic nature. For in ancient times, Jenny used to be a warning for children not to go near dangerous bodies of water, where they could easily fall in said waters and become tangled in the weeds and plants, or in the case of river and streams, swept away. Interesting stuff, right?
Yeah,
all right. So. Let's keep reading a little bit more about her, okay?
Yeah.
So she also goes by different names, Wicked Jenny, Ginny Greenteeth, or just Greenteeth. We were saying, you know, usually found right around Liverpool area in southwest Lancaster. And it's usually the name found right around, like, duckweed specifically, those things that are growing out of the water. She's known to be around duckweed quite a bit. Jenny Greenteeth is described, we were saying, with the green skin, long hair, sharp teeth, and the different names in the different locations change. So in the Lancaster area, her name would be Ginny Greenteeth, and in North Stratosphere, but in Cheshire and Stratosphere, she's called Wicked Jenny, Ginny, or Janine Greenteeth. She is also described as lurking in upper branches of trees at night, although this may be a folklore's confusion with another English Ginny Hewlett, a folk name for an owl creature. Her name is deprived of the Grindylo, which has the alternative name Grendith or Greenteeth, which eventually developed into the term Jenny Greenteeth. She is likely to have invention to frighten children from dangerous waters. Similar nation to the Slavic Ruskla, the Kappa in Japanese mythology, the Australians Bunyip. Some folklorists believe to the tale recall sacrificial practices. A similar figure in Japan folklore is called the River Mother or the River Mama. She is said to live at the fountainhead of large rivers in Jamaica, sitting on top of a rock, combing her long black hair with a gold comb. She usually appears at midday, and she disappears if she has observed anyone approaching. However, if an intruder sees her first and their eyes meet, terrible things will happen to the intruder. A similar figure is known as the Storm Hag, Uncommonly known as Jenny Greenteeth, appears in American folklore around Lake Erie, specifically in the urban legends of Erie, Pennsylvania, in which sailors use a paranormal being to explain the dangers and shipwrecks in the Erie Triangle. The storm hag is said to have been a green-skinned woman with a teeth-like shark, but they're green, and has yellow piercing eyes who rest at the bottom of the lake off the coast of the Presque Isle and sings a song whenever a ship appears. Come in the water, love, dance beneath the waves, where dwell the bones of sailor lads inside my saffron cave. When sailors of the ship would hear the song, the storm hag attacks the ship and crew with violent storms and waves, sinking and devouring them. And in popular culture, Jenny Greenteeth has been seen in such a thing. She inspired the lake monster Mucklebones in 1985's Ridley Scott's movie Legend. Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah.
Jenny Greenteeth is recalled by John Heath Stubbs in his poem, The Green Man's Last Will and Testament, laminating the eclipse of cruel nymphs or the northern streams. Peg Prowler of the Tees and Jenny Greenrith of the Riddle. In a novel at Water Babies by Simon Brown, Jenny Greenteeth is mentioned as being one of the many names for a child-snatching water demon. In a novella, an Australian police officer investigates a series of drownings that turn out to be a predator attacks by a seal-like creature. She appears in Terry Pratchett's The Wee Free Men, attacking the main character, Tiffany Aching, and her brother Wentworth near a shallow stream. Jenny Greenteeth appears in a number of Dungeons & Dragons Adventurer modules, including Tales Trees Tell, Suits of the Mist, The Ghost, and The Dark Lord. She appears in the story Something Borrowed in the novel Summer Night, and is mentioned in the novel Proving Guilty by Jim Butcher, and is also mentioned in Ink Exchange by Melissa Marr. She appears in the story Pretty Jenny Greenteeth by Lee Face Shawcross, who won a 2016 award. Sci-fi video game Remember Me. She appears in a comic story called The Corpse, written by Mac Magnolia, who also made Hellboy, by the way, guys. Oh. Torg Entity Scenario and Revenge of the Caradon. And just those, some different ones. And this character is the, it's just a swamp witchy character. I don't like to use the term swamp witch because that's what, it's just the negative light put on a group of people that don't necessarily deal in things like that. And it's absolutely ridiculous sometimes to say those things, but the story of the hag who drags children in the rivers and drowns is a good way to kind of deter kids from wandering in the bodies of water, don't you think, Conrad?
Yeah, I would say so, too. I mean, I don't normally go strolling in the bodies of water, but if for the curious folks out there, especially kids that want to go in there, the story kind of helps the cause of saying, hey, fair warning, don't do this.
100%. And it's interesting that we have stories from around the world. Like the one that this brings me straight to is the story of the Kappa in Japanese yokai story. The Kappa is this turtle-like creature that's known to drown humans. And it's interesting that we have similar creatures across either side of the world, one being in England and one being in Japan, but they have similar characteristics, both being green creatures, long claws, sharp teeth. And it begs the question, why do we have similar stories from places that people weren't necessarily traveling between? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure.
Food for thought. So do you have any closing thoughts of our story of Jenny Greenteeth this evening?
It's a curious tale out there out of jolly old England. But yeah, definitely anything bodies of water and singing too. If you hear random singing or anything like that, don't go to it.
No.
Don't go into the bodies
just
of water.
Just that sounds like a siren problem. Yeah, I would highly recommend you
don't go
there.
Don't do it, Bob. Stay away.
100%. Count, do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Everybody continue to have a fine day, evening, depending on when you're listening to this or watching this. And until next time, Bob, I guess I'll, have to un-Hawaii myself here after the show, I guess.
Fair enough. We're going to keep
probably like 50 degrees outside at this point.
All right, folks. Thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me, Account Panic, we just want to wish you guys all sweet dreams. My mom, good night. to my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And yes, the secrets, people know that you were the one that put the trash can on Kosciuszko's head.
What?
They can't come get you now, I promise.
The mayor is calling people right now as we speak.
And the Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.